Our Bible reading this morning is from Luke's Gospel. We're continuing the series, looking at verses 31 through to 44. That's page 1031 of the Pew Bibles, 1031, Luke chapter 4, verse 31 to 44. This is God's word. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath began to teach the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his message had authority. In the synagogue there was a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Ha! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What is this teaching? With authority and power he gives orders to evil spirits and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Christ. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. This is God's word. Amen. We'll continue to worship God now as we bring our gifts and offering. We'll sing "Be Still," and we'll remain seated, and then we'll stand towards the end. "Be Still."
Before him now, with reverence.
Father, we just give thanks for all that you graciously give to us, how you provide for our every need. And Lord, what we bring this morning, it's only a token of all that you give. But Lord, we pray that you will take it, that you will use it powerfully and mightily for the glory and extension of your kingdom, both here in this place and to the ends of the earth. Amen. Just before we sing again, just two things. There are the annual reports in the pews, so please take home those annual reports and go through them and just give thanks for the work that goes on here in this place, how God works here and has been working here for now 176 years. And God has still good plans for this place. So use this annual report not just as a book to put on a shelf, but to pray for the work that goes on here, and just pray that God will continue to be glorified here. And then one other thing. I suppose I'd never really thought I would reach this stage, but. As many of you know, I'm an assistant, and we come to a stage as an assistant where we end up moving, either by choice or else we just have to get kicked out. And I haven't reached the stage of being kicked out, but I'm available to call from the 1st of September. And over the last 4.5 years, I have been journeying in a particular direction in ministry, sensing God leading me to that. This is why I wanted Bobby to do this. sensing God leading me to this particular avenue, and I have received confirmation. It's still not completely final, but to go and serve full-time as a chaplain in the Royal Air Force, which will take me away back over to England and Scotland and who knows where else. I was away again this week for another couple of days. And again, this is just how we see the power of prayer and God working in the place, because I've had a chest infection for the last 2 weeks, and I think this was my umpteenth fitness test that I had to go through, and God managed to get me through that fitness test. And so, God willing, I will start my training, because I have to go through full officer training for the RAF. I will start that on the 15th of September, Sunday the 15th of September. So the only thing that I am still waiting on now is my security clearance. Yeah, exactly. I think we need to pray about that, so we do. But thank you all for just being our family here in Legacurry. And I will be grateful in some ways that as going as a chaplain, I don't leave and just go to another church, but I'll actually be sent from Legacurry. And this is our church family, and thank you for that. And we will continue to crave your prayers, covet your prayers over these coming weeks and months. And for those who have seen me on the odd occasion down in the hall, in my shorts and t-shirt and trainers, I apologise for the sight, but this was exactly why I had to get fit and lose the weight that I had put on while I was at college. But God does have a plan, and sometimes we don't always know what that plan is, but it eventually becomes clear. So, yeah, that's where we're going. And let's. I think we might have to sing a hymn now, because I'm not sure I'll be able to speak. But you know, I love the words in that last hymn that we sang, "Be Still." And there's a number of so many words in that, and says, "Sing like never before." So let's sing like never before as we sing, "Thank you for saving me," because it is God that has saved us through the death and resurrection of Christ on the cross. And that's why we go forth and go forward. Let's praise God.
Thank you for saving me.
So if you've still got your Bibles open, if you can turn to them, Luke chapter 4, page 103, one of the Pew Bibles. And we'll just work through this passage. But I wonder how comfortable you are if you're going to an event or a function where you don't really know anybody and you walk into a room for the first time. And I don't think there are too many of us enjoy that sort of an experience. But you go into the room and you quickly scour the room. You're looking around to see if you can place anyone that you might know. And you find no one. And so you then quickly look, who's the friendliest face that I can go over and talk to? And you start with some bland conversation. And then you get round to asking who you are, what you do, why are you here? And if it's a church event, you'd probably say, you know, what church are you a member of? And you quickly try and build up a background to the person. You try to get a good introduction to them to see who and know they are. And you build this picture of this person that you have just met and been introduced to. And that's what's happening here in this passage in Luke's gospel. We're coming to the end of a section of Luke where he is still introducing to us who Jesus is. And that message is that quite simply, Jesus is none other than the Son of God. He's been introduced through the account of about John the Baptist, then his genealogy, his temptations, and then his rejection in Nazareth. And so we reach verse 31 right through to the end of chapter 4. And this is the end of that introduction to who Christ is. And so what is it that we see in this final introduction? I think there are three ideas that we can explore this morning. First of all, Jesus's authority. Secondly, his healing. And thirdly, his priority. So let's look first at Jesus' authority. It's a funny sort of thing. It has a number of different meanings. And if you look it up in the dictionary, one of them says it is the power or right to give orders, make decisions, and to enforce obedience. But quite simply because the authority is delegated from one person or organization to another. But it can also mean the power to influence others, especially because of maybe your commanding manner or your recognized knowledge and expertise in a particular area. What sort of authority does Jesus have? Well, I think we need to recap on the passage that Bobby preached on a couple of weeks ago when Jesus was rejected in Nazareth. See, while he was in Nazareth, he'd gone into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. We read that in verse 16. And he'd opened up the scroll that had been handed to him, and he'd read that passage from Isaiah 61, which spoke of, prophesied of, the coming Messiah, about one who would preach good news to the poor and proclaim the year of the Lord. And then Jesus had said in verse 21, today this scripture is fulfilled. And then Jesus went on to speak about Elijah and Elisha. And yet what happens when he does this? They reject Jesus and what he is saying. They try to drive him right out of town. They don't like what they hear. It isn't what they want to hear. And now in our passage for today, Jesus is now in Capernaum. It's over east of Nazareth. It's right up on the northwest coast of the Sea of Galilee. Again, it is the Sabbath. And that is significant, and I will come back to that later. But because it is the Sabbath, Jesus again goes to the synagogue. And incidentally, if you ever go to Israel, the ruins of this particular synagogue are still there. And we know that from the foundation stone. So you can go and you can see this particular synagogue. And I did that a number of years ago. When Jesus was in Nazareth, he had been rejected. Whereas today in Capernaum, it is a totally different story. Because we read in verse 32, they were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. Why did these words have authority? Was it because Jesus was this great charismatic leader who everyone just chose to listen to? No, because he had been rejected by many, and he would continue to be rejected by many, but he had authority. His words and his teaching carried weight. And they did so because of exactly who he was. It wasn't authority that Jesus had because he'd earned it or because he was good at his job. It wasn't because he spoke eloquently or with great turns of phrase as a brilliant orator. Although I don't think there is much doubt that that all of these did apply. But Jesus had authority because of who he was. He wasn't just anyone. He was the Son of God. And so when he spoke, this message carried weight. It had authority that no one else could give. You know, if the Queen wrote to us as a church here in Legacurry, and Bobby or I stood up and read the letter, it would carry a certain weight. But how different it would be if Prince Charles or Prince Anne or Prince William came and read the letter as a son or daughter or grandson. It would have a different weight. Well, this was God's word being read and taught, and it was being taught by God's own Son. Jesus did not just preach about God, Yahweh, Jehovah, Elohim. Jesus was God. Let's not forget that connection that we see within the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three separate, distinct beings, and yet three in one. And one of them was in Capernaum. God the Son, Jesus the Messiah, was teaching and speaking of himself. You know, some of my favourite passages and words in the Gospels are from John chapter 1. We read in verses 1 and 2, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was with God in the beginning. And then in verse 14, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word was Jesus. So we have here in Capernaum, Jesus the Word, speaking from the Word. Jesus is God and speaking of God and of himself. And so, of course, it has authority. As he spoke, he had authority for one reason alone, and that was because of who he was. He wasn't just any rabbi reading and teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath. He wasn't just some smart-talking, charismatic leader. He didn't have authority because he had the ability to read. He had authority because he was God's Son. He was God. He was the Word. The people knew this authority, and they listened. So when you hear or read from the Bible, don't believe something just because Bobby or I or someone else says it. What we read in this book, this Bible, is God's Word. It has authority. And so when it tells us something, we should listen, because it is God speaking directly to us. And so secondly, then, in this passage, we see Jesus' healing in the passage. And as we read and think of Jesus' healing here, what we also see is some of Jesus' authority actually being demonstrated. You know, this is the first of a number of sets of healings that we read in Luke's Gospel that again take place on the Sabbath. This passage alone has three sets of them. The demon-possessed man, Simon's mother-in-law, and then a whole range of people with a whole load of different sicknesses, including, again, demon possession. And then we read more of these healings on the Sabbath in chapter 6, 13 and 14. You know, this, I realize, is stating the obvious, but none of this happens by accident. It is no accident that these first healings take place on the Sabbath and that they follow the rejection in Nazareth, which also took place on the Sabbath. As Darrell Bock says in his commentary, many lessons emerge from these Sabbath confrontations about God's new way and about the failure to heed the new hope. God's new way. This new hope that Darrell Bock is speaking of here hinges on Jesus. It hinges on who Jesus is, that he isn't just an ordinary man, but that he is the Messiah. He is the one foretold hundreds of years before. He is the one who came to save. He came to heal. And that is what happens here. You know, the first healing, verses 33 to 35, and then the third one in verses 40 to 41, there are people possessed by demons. Look at the detail of what happens. These demons, they know who Jesus is. They are under no illusion. Verse 34, one of the demons says, "Go away. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know you who you are, the Holy One of God." They know Jesus' power and authority. They know he is the Holy One of God. And then in verse 41, the demons, as they are coming out of the people, they shout, "You are the Son of God." These are confrontations between Jesus and forces of evil. Just like the encounter at the start of the chapter between Jesus and the devil in the temptations. But Jesus has authority. He is the Son of God. He is God, and so he can and does command these evil spirits to be quiet. "Come out of him," he rebuked them. Who can do this? Who else has such power that they can defeat evil spirits and that they do as they are told? Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, with the authority of God the Father, can do this. You see, what's happening is Luke, as I said at the start, he is making clear to us who Jesus is. He's introducing us to Christ. He's laying out like a good lawyer the case of who Jesus is, that he is simply none other than the Messiah, that he is the Son of God. Place yourselves in the shoes of these people who witnessed this 2,000 years ago. What would you think? Would you just shrug your shoulders and think it was just another normal day at the office? Or would you be blown away by what you have witnessed? People were in awe at what happened. Verse 36, all the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are. With authority and power he gives orders to impure spirits and they come out." So word spread. By the end of that day, the sun is going down and all sorts of people with all sorts of illnesses and sicknesses are coming to Jesus because they know what he can do. Simon's mother-in-law, Jesus uses his authority to rebuke the fever that was in her, for it to leave her, and she was healed. Jesus uses his power and authority to heal, to change lives. And this all points forward to the real reason why Jesus came. We sang of it, "Thank you for saving me." For Jesus to truly heal, to take people who have the illness of sin and separation from God, and that through Jesus' perfect life submission to death on the cross, that by simply believing who Jesus is and asking him, "Heal me, Lord. Free me from the price and pain of eternal separation from God the Father," and they are healed. Maybe you know you need that healing. A healing that's not about physical sickness, but it is about your relationship with God. Please don't put off asking Jesus. Please don't put off asking Jesus into your heart. Do something about it. There is an urgency. Speak to Bobby or to me, one of the elders, or another Christian. But make healing a priority in your life, to be healed and reconciled with God the Father. And that leads me to the final idea. What was Jesus' priority? You know, that day in Capernaum was without doubt an extraordinary day. Jesus demonstrated who he was, that he was without doubt the Messiah and Son of God. He could take on the forces of darkness and evil. He could heal the sick and he could change lives. From morning to night he worked, and early the next morning, what did he do? After a long, hard day's work, did he have a lie-in? Did he put his feet up? Did he have a wee treat just to recover? No, his priority was this, in verse 42. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. When we read the parallel account in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says that Jesus went off to a solitary place to pray. It's something that Jesus did often. We again, further on in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Jesus needed to spend time in his Father's presence. He took the time in his busy life and he went away from the day to day, from the routine, from the normal, for rest and to spend time with his Father. You know, friends, if Jesus needed to do this, how much more do we need to do it? This was Jesus' priority, to spend time with his Father. How much more we need to do the same? And I say this to myself as much as to you. When was the last time you took specific time out of your day to separate yourself from the normal routine of all that you do and pray? To simply spend time doing nothing more than being in your Father's presence. You know, we've allowed our lives to become very busy doing things, maybe even doing God's work, and sometimes spending time in God's presence can get pushed off to the side. You know, even in our normal, regular devotional time, if you manage that, it can get rushed. You know, I've only 10 minutes or 15 minutes to spend because, you know, the kids are about to get up and demand your time or work calls or whatever it is. Now, there's a verse in Psalm 46, verse 10. And again, I know this is a verse that some of you know and love, and it's one again that I do. Psalm 46, verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." You know, when we remove ourselves from the normal routine, set time aside and go and simply dwell in God's presence, to be still and know God, that time will not be wasted. It will be more refreshing than a lie-in. It'll be more refreshing than a day at a spa, a good meal, or a cup of coffee. Be still and know that I am God. We're at the start of the summer. Most of us take some time of holiday, and I'm about to do that. Can I encourage you somewhere over these next weeks to say to your wife or husband or children or friends or whoever, I'm going to take an hour or something like this, and I'm going to go off to a quiet place to pray, to be in God's presence. Maybe that will be to the prayer room here just behind us. Maybe it'll be to a quiet corner of Hillsborough Forest Park. Maybe it will be to a beach somewhere. Maybe it will be to the top of Slieve Donard. But take yourself and go and pray. Because you see, as Jesus knew his mission, which we read in verse 43, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns, because that is why I was sent. Jesus took time to pray so he could complete the mission. And we too need to take time to pray to complete the mission that Jesus gave to us. The one that we read at the end of Matthew's Gospel in chapter 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Jesus came with authority. He too gives us authority to serve him and to build his kingdom. Jesus came to heal so that we could be reunited with God. And Jesus' priority was to spend time with his Father. We too want to have a heart that makes time with God and to be in God's presence a priority in our lives. Let's pray.